This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 387. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
A new origin for Diana, a wild party for Clark, a return to Megalopolis, and S.H.I.E.L.D. gets a new number one. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 17, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. The Legend of Wonder Woman number one by DeLiz and Dillon. So we haven't been fans of the main Wonder Woman title for a while.
No.
In fact, I'm debating why I'm still getting it.
I am too.
We did like the recently departed Sensation Comics, though. And why is that? Because it's non-continuity.
You think it'd do so much more with Wonder Woman without having her to conform to this stupid God of War thing.
Right.
I'm sorry, shouldn't go off on it now.
No, you're right.
But the Amazons are supposed to be, you know, like striving for peace. So
yes.
Why does she get to be a God of War?
Exactly. So now we get a new origin story, but it's not in current continuity. We see the whole origin of the Amazons, receiving the gift of immortality, the creation of Themyscira, Hippolyta's longing for a child, the gods granting her wish, she gets a child, and now we watch Diana as a small child and her destiny, because she's going to be queen eventually. She sees that her people have enjoyed prosperity for so long that they've forgotten how to defend themselves. There's guards, but there's not nearly enough.
Yeah, there's a certain proportion of the people that are learning how to defend themselves, but they don't really take it seriously.
She also sees an evil coming to the island, but she talks to her mother won't listen to her. Fortunately, Aclippi, the guard, believes her after finding Diana when Diana runs away into the forest and finds this evil. So next issue, the training of Diana in secret begins with the guard.
I have a number of questions about this.
Yeah.
Okay. First, is this an ongoing or is it a miniseries?
It's a miniseries.
Okay. So there's a number of Amazon children born, girls,
mm-hmm.
who are mortal. And then there are a certain number that are immortal beings. And
right.
Hippolyta is supposedly one of the immortal beings.
Yep.
But they're saying Diana's going to replace her as queen, maybe, except Diana is immortal, not
yeah.
immortal.
Yeah.
And if she wants to become queen, then they'll make her immortal, but then wouldn't Hippolyta lose her immortality?
Yeah, I don't quite get the logic of this. Maybe Hippolyta becomes like the queen mother.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll explain a bit of that as it goes along.
Yeah, and of course, assuming this goes via the standard overall continuity, Diana will never become queen.
Right.
Because she leaves the island.
Yes.
The artwork is very evocative. I thought it was almost manga-like in its
design. Yes, I can see that.
And the art really carries the story through. The story is okay, but not fantastic. The artwork is much better than the story.
I do like the artwork much better than the artwork in the main Wonder Woman,
yes.
And I did even like the story better than that one, so.
Superman, American Alien, number 3 of 7 by Landis, Jones, and Renzi. So Max Landis continues this miniseries that tells moments in Clark's life. And now we think, like 21 years old, and he leaves Smallville for the first time because he won a Caribbean vacation.
So, first of all, who wins a Caribbean vacation for one?
Yeah.
They always make it for two.
Yeah, it really doesn't make much sense.
You know, and all I could think of as I was reading this was who set this up to get him out of Smallville.
Presumably that's what it is. And unfortunately, his small plane goes down. And so he's already on the cruise and he took a excursion with himself as the only passenger.
I have no clue. We don't know how he got on that little tiny plane.
Right. So he winds up on this huge yacht, and everybody thinks he's Bruce Wayne, because Wayne is this elusive playboy who apparently nobody knows what he looks like.
Yes.
And when a new guy shows up on deck, well, they're like, well, obviously that's Bruce Wayne, and he's just made his appearance. Oliver Queen invites him into the party, and Barbara Minerva, of course, will later become the Cheetah, convinces him to go along with the ruse just for fun.
Now, I was a little bit annoyed with this party scene because of, you know, they threw everybody in there who shouldn't, you know, necessarily be together yet.
Right.
Sue Dibney. Well, she wouldn't have been Sue Dibney before she married Ralph, right?
That's true.
And Victor Zsasz, come on.
It's like they just kind of grabbed random people from the DCU and said, well, they're around 21 and they're at this wild party.
Yeah, and that just annoyed me.
So Clark and Barbara have this long conversation. We learn that Clark plans to be a vet.
A veterinarian.
Veterinarian. He tells her how he, quote, flew to California once but never landed, and she thinks that's all metaphorical.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and I read that twice. I was like, oh, he flew there.
And she talks about the idea of secrets, and then they wind up in bed together and presumably had sex.
Yes.
But it's never actually stated. Later, he calls himself a super weird alien. She says, I feel like that too sometimes.
Yeah.
She's all thinking this is metaphorical. Unfortunately, Deathstroke shows up to take out Bruce Wayne, and he spiked the champagne, and so Clark drank it that has poison in it.
Because everybody thinks Clark is Bruce, so does Deathstroke.
Right. And, of course, that just makes him woozy and a little drunk, but it doesn't kill him. So this drunk Clark takes him out and then returns to Barbara. And I love he's just kind of like, what is this? Sword broken, snap.
Yeah.
The ship docks and Clark and Barbara leave separately. And then off at what I assume is Nanda Parbat.
Yeah.
It's Ra's al Ghul's headquarters. And he shows his student, Son of Bats, security footage from the yacht, which draws Bruce's attention, obviously. He's like, someone is going out there saying he's me.
Uh-huh.
The dialogue is really great. The storyline, although it doesn't quite fit together very well, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it before, DC, this is how you write a Superman story.
Yeah.
This, nobody can write a good Superman story. Sure you can. And this is one of them. Leaving Megalopolis, Surviving Megalopolis, number one from Dark Horse by Simone and Calafiore. So Gail Simone ran a successful Kickstarter to publish her graphic novel about leaving Megalopolis. And now she's brought a new series and presumably that audience to Dark Horse. Now, we reviewed the novel in a previous episode, but the overall concept is there's this perfect Metropolis-like city that's patrolled by all these superheroes. It's just basically destroyed when this evil cloud comes out of the ground and turns all the heroes into homicidal maniacs. The novel tells how a group of civilians escaped the devastated city. So now this new story begins with a Justice League-like group standing at the edge of a blown-up bridge. And the city has now become a no-man's land, kind of like what happened to Gotham back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Southern Belle wants to find Overlord in the river and sends Amphibonaut and Ribbon to get him. And so this is basically Wonder Woman, Superman, Aquaman, and Plastic Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's prolific swearing and rudeness throughout, and we learn she's doing this just so she can torture him again, while a new masked vigilante with a rifle watches them. Meanwhile, bar patrons, and it took me a minute to figure out that, okay, these people are not in Megalopolis.
No, they're not.
They're outside the city. They're watching the news. and one of the patrons there is Lamb, one of the evacuees from the novel. Another is a stranger who's looking for him. And this group knows that Mina, another refugee, is still alive in the city, and they need Lamb on their team to go back in and get her. But they also plan to save this rich businessman, and it's obviously that's the main goal because that's what they're being paid to go get.
Yeah, and they figure they can use Lamb as a guide in the city and that he would go in because he'd want to get Mina out.
Right. An angry patron is taken out by the stranger, and I mean taken out. And then we go to a flashback at a comic book shop about this girl and boy arguing about the Crimson Shadow, this comic book, and also a real hero, presumably in Megalopolis. And then we go back to the present, and that masked vigilante, who turns out to be the girl from the shop, and also turns out to be Mina, and the boy in the comic shop is now Crimson Shadow.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in this single issue.
And you never would understand it if you hadn't read that graphic novel before.
Absolutely. Absolute prerequisite.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd almost think I'd rather wait and read this as a graphic novel, but... Mm.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 from Marvel by Guggenheim, Peralta, and Rosenberg. We get a new creative team, and I think a more conventional storyline that's actually tied into the main Marvel continuity, whatever that is at this point.
Is this the all new, all different, or...
I don't know if it's tied into that or not, but they reference other comics.
Yeah.
You know, that are going on right now. And the main storyline's about this bogus Iron Man suit that was downloaded as a 3D model. It's like, okay, I can understand somehow you get a 3D model of the Iron Man suit, but that's a lot different than making it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're going to crank it out of that plastic goop they use to make most 3D models.
Well,
like, you're gonna need a lot better resources than, you know, going to your local computer shop to crank that thing out. And I think it would take a very long time. And
one would hope
you,
so.
And you need a lot of, like, don't you need the, whatever the energy thing is in his chest? Don't you need that to, like, power it? So I won't go into a lot of detail about this storyline, except Fitz asks May out for a date. This is either really bad characterization or it's not really Fitz.
Yeah, when it says right on the cover that it's, you know, inspired by the TV show,
yeah,
then you would think that the characters would be more like those on the TV show. And, you know, Fitz on the TV show would never ask May out for a date.
Not in a million years. So I haven't really decided if I will continue actually getting this title because it is a lot more conventional. I liked Wade's work a lot better than the Guggenheim's work.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pushing the button.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
No.
Music related?
Yes.
Ooh, music related. Hate these. One person on the cover?
Yes.
Man?
Yes.
Man over 40?
Yes.
Over 50?
Yes.
60?
Yes.
Is it David Bowie?
It is.
Okay.
See, well, that was pretty easy.
That was actually pretty easy.
Yeah, when you think about it.
Yeah,
sad, but
yeah.
Made an easy cover.
I've noticed a trend on Facebook in the last week
Yes?
of people posting, and this person died, who died like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's just a gag people are playing where it's like, oh, I'll just post this, or they just don't bother looking. When they post a link and you look at the link, it makes it very clear, oh, this person died 10 years ago.
To an article that was published 10 years ago and maybe they just saw it or something.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Like, read the article before you post something, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737, that's 614-321-9SFB.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.